you know, I'm not geared up computer-wise yet, I guess, for the season. But this is our first shear of the year, and since, you know, the way the calendar falls, so it didn't make sense to begin with Sanhedrin. So we thought we would do a topic, a tshuva topic in the beginning of the year. Since it's a different kind of a shear, so, you know, I was a little bit lax in preparing the makoros and you know, to computer-wise in advance. So we'll, everybody will try to bear with me. We'll do it the old-fashioned way. It's important to do it the old-fashioned way a couple of times a year, you know, both for sake of tradition and classicism, and also, you know, that way people appreciate, you know, the technology and they don't take it for granted. So for all those reasons, I'm sure we, you know, we'll manage the old way tonight. It's right before Yom Kippur, and it's really a very auspicious opportunity, really, to speak about Inyanei Tshuva. And I thought I would speak about a topic of Tshuva, which also has a broader... Oh, is there a way to get a book of more brachos? I'm sorry to do this to you. Brachos. That's the one I forgot. Which also has broader implications in terms of Avodas Hashem, as we would expect that it would. After all, I've had the opportunity to speak, you know, in the framework of this year for many, many years before Yom Kippur. One of the themes that I always try to underscore is that there's a certain dialectic about Yom Kippur, and that is, on the one hand, it's the most unusual day of the year. Torah itself in Parshas Achrimos emphasizes Achas Bashana, you know, and only comes once a year, and it's really singular and unique in every way. And one might have thought that it being such a unique day, that it has very little connection with the rest of the year. But what I've always tried to repeat every year, we try to change the topics, but because I believe it's very true and it's a very important point that needs to be reinforced before every Yom Kippur, is that the Achas Bashana of Yom Kippur is really a linchpin for the entire year. And that while there's no more... Oh, you did that very quickly. Well, there's no more unusual day of the year. There's also no more relevant day of the year. And therefore, the themes of Yom Kippur, understandably, are really the themes of Kol HaShana. Again, I always like to quote the words of the Marsha. The Marsha in Megillah takes note of the fact that, you know, when Moshe Rabbeinu spoke about the Moadim, so Chazal learned that, you know, you're supposed to prepare in advance for the Moadim, and they speak about Chag HaPesach b'Pesach, and Shavuos b'Shavuos, and Sukkos b'Sukkos, but they omit a reference to Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur. So the Marsha has a very beautiful comment in which he says that unlike the other Moadim, which are also relevant, obviously, for all year round, but they really... you know, belong to a certain tkufas or a certain period of the year. Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur, you might have thought, this part he doesn't say this, I'm adding, more so even than the other Moadim, is singular, and therefore it belongs to a certain, you know, moment in time. But really the opposite is true. And there's nothing more relevant than the topic of tshuva and the inyanim of Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur. And for that reason, it's not part of, you know, shall chag b'chag, in the Shloshim Yom sense, because it's really a year-round topic. Doesn't seem that way to people who are not initiated, but if we understand the role of the Yom Noraim, and especially Yom Kippur, better, then we can appreciate that that is the case. And therefore the themes or the motifs that we really develop for Yom Kippur are, on the one hand, singular, because it's the most rule-breaking day of the year, but by definition, they're also the most relevant to our daily lives. The things that we need to internalize on that one day, that Achas Bashana, you know, which then the rest of the year revolves around. In past years, we've also spoken about, you know, the idea of Shabbos Shabbason, that Yom Kippur is a kind of a Shabbos. And especially the Rambam, who develops the dinim of Yom Kippur and Hilchos Shvisos Asar right after Shabbos. Rambam has Shabbos, Zmanim Shabbos, Erevin, Shvisas Asar, and then Yom Tov, unlike the Tur in Shulchan Aruch, who, unlike the Psukim in Parshas Emor, for that matter, which have Shabbos, you know, then they have the Psukim and the Tur in Shulchan Aruch, Pesach, Shavuos, Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur, Sukkot. But the Rambam didn't do it that way, intentionally. He has Shabbos, Erevin, Shvisas Asar, Yom Tov, and then he has, you know, Chametz Matzah, and Shofar, and Lulav, and Sukkah, and so on. And that's because the Rambam, and there are other indications of this as well, really felt that Yom Kippur is not so much a generic Yom Tov as it is a Shabbos and a Shabbos Shabbos. And we've spoken about these different aspects of these themes in the past. The reason I'm mentioning it now is, in that sense too, it's Achas B'Shana, just like Shabbos is Achas B'Shavua. But as everybody knows, the week revolves around Shabbos. We define all week. We're I wouldn't say recovering. Sustaining. You know, the high, let's say, of Shabbos, and we're looking forward to the next Shabbos. And that's what the Ramban explains in his Perush al Torah and in the Drasha of the Rosh Hashanah as well, that the days of the week are called Yom Rishon, Yom Sheni, Yom Shlishi, Yom Revi, Yom Chamishi, because everything, you know, symbolically revolves around Shabbos. And we know there's a Havdalah goes on till Tuesday, and then, you know, Hachana for Shabbos, Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel might be all during the week. Shabbos is such a foundational concept in Yahadus that everything is kind of relative, you know, to it. And that's true about Yom Kippur as well. It's Achas B'Shana and it's a Shabbos Shabbason. So that the ideas and the themes that we develop for Yom Kippur, as singular as they are also the things that's the pivot of the year. It's everything really surrounds Yom Kippur. So with that in mind, I thought we'd speak this year about tshuva, but an aspect of tshuva which I think is really accentuated in Yom Kippur, but that, you know, is part of the broader theme of Avodas Hashem, Shel Kol Hashan. So let's begin with the issue and the problem that I want to start with, and then we'll develop this component of tshuva. The Gemara tells us in Yuma and Af Pehei Amud Beis. And you have parallel discussions of the Gemara in other places, Gemara in Shavuos, Daf Yud Gimel, and in Krisus. There's a very fascinating debate between the Rebbe and the Chachamim, whether or not Yom Kippur is Mechaper, Itzumo Shoyom is Mechaper, with or without Tshuva. The very idea that Yom Kippur could be effective in terms of Kapara, expiating Chataim, without Tshuva, is really very surprising, very shocking. The Rambam, as we'll see in a moment, in the beginning of Hilchos Tshuva, does not paskin like Rebbe. He paskins like the Chachamim, that Tshuva is required for Yom Kippur as well. But the very view, Talmud Rebbe, the organizer, the editor of the Mishnah, you know, there was nobody as prominent in terms of the. There were others but nobody more prominent than Rebbe among the great figures. And he has this view of Yom Kippur as being independently effective, you know, even without tshuva. And surely that is something that we need to understand, even if we don't paskin that way. Some of the Nosa Kalim and the Rambam aren't so sure that the Rambam not paskining like Rebbe is such a simple matter either. If you look at the evidence in the Gemara, it's not so clear how we paskin. What's even more intriguing is, even though we don't paskin like Rebbe, there is a kind of a qualification for Rebbe's halacha, and that is that you have to be somebody who doesn't reject the concept of Yom Kippur. In other words, even if you don't do tshuva, Yom Kippur will have the capacity to be mechaper of onos, itzumo shel yom mechaper, but not if you're a rebel, if you're Mevaet, B'Yom HaKippurim. That also is very surprising, because we're not sure how this works to begin with, but however it works, you're going to have to say, I believe in Yom Kippur. So, you know, that you should be able to, you know, that you should be taking seriously Yom Kippur's understanding, but what exactly is that mechanism? Even if we don't paskin like Rebbe, and as I say, the Rambam does not, it's clear in the Gemara that the Chachamim also put great stock in the day of Yom Kippur, simply Itzumo Shel Yom, even without tshuva, and even when there's a combination of tshuva and Yom Kippur, it seems like Yom Kippur plays a very central role. So So let me just highlight that as well. Rambam, in the beginning of Hilchos Tshuva, Perek Aleph, starts off, interestingly enough, with the idea of tshuva for kol mitzvos, all year round. Kol mitzvos, shebet Torah, bein asei, bein los asei, im avar adam alachas mehem, bein bezonim, bein b'shkaga, kishi yasa tshuva v'yashuv mechato, chayav lehisvados, lefnei akel baruchu, shenemar, isho isha, kiyasu, v'hisvadu et chatatam, vidui zu mitzvos asei. This is a famous Rambam who emphasizes, in the context of tshuva, the role of vidui. And this particular Rambam is not about Yom Kippur. I've noted in years past that actually the description, Ketzav Mizvadin, of the Rambam is very, very parallel to the vidui of the Kohen Gadol on Yom Kippur, which I don't think is a coincidence. But that aside, the first halacha of the Rambam deals generally with the concept of tshuva. But already in the second halacha of Hilchos Tshuva, the Rambam starts to relate to Yom Kippur. And that itself is, Omer Darsheni. That requires a comment. It's later on in Perek Beis, as we'll read in a couple of moments, that the Rambam speaks more specifically about the period of Aseres Yemei Tshuva, and then about Yom Kippur. We'll get to that in just a minute. That's in Perek Beis. But already in Perek Aleph, which he's just describing Tshuva in a broader way, the Rambam starts in Perek Beis and Halacha Gimel to speak about the role of Yom Kippur. And if we look at what he writes, and this is not the Chidushim of the Rambam, these are based on Gemaras, but he's codifying them, it's really very challenging to understand him. Se'ira Mishtaleach, this is the second halacha in Hilchos Tshuva, Se'ira Mishtaleach, lefi shehu kapara al kol Yisrael, kohen gadol misvada alav, al lashon kol Yisrael. Shenemar v'hisvada alav, es kol avonos b'nei Yisrael. So why this is here in Perek Aleph Halacha Beis and not in Perek Beis, as we'll soon see, Halacha, Tess. I didn't make that up. I'll connect it to Halacha Ches, is where he speaks about Yom Kippur, is a question. Now the immediate answer is, the Rambam has just described Tshuva, which is centered around Vidui. He's also described the components of Vidui. Vidui is a complex process. It includes charata al sha'avar, true regret, and busha, right, feeling a sense of embarrassment, which is a lost art in our time, but an important art, and kabbalah lahaba, kabbalah la'asid. So the Rambam has just described these components, and now he's telling you that in the context of the Seir Mishaleach, there's a vidui of the Kohen Gadol, which is made on behalf of everyone. Okay, so there is a context. But is there sufficient context for this to be right here in the beginning of Hilchos Tshuva, number one? But then what's even more interesting is the Ram goes on to explain that Seir Mishtaleach Mechaper al kol aveiros shebetorah, hakalos vachamuros. Now he starts speaking about the expansive power of this Karban, Seir Mishtaleach, to be Mechaper on kalos and chamuros. So we're not just talking any longer about the vidui. Right, we're talking about the korban. Bein sha'avar bezadon, bein sha'avar b'shkaga, bein shehodalo, bein shelo hodalo. Whether he did intentionally, accidentally, whether he knows about it, whether he doesn't know about it. Hakol miskaper b'sira mishtaleach. And then he adds, v'hu sha'asa tshuva. That's, of course, if it's combined with tshuva. Avim lo asa tshuva. Ena sa'ir b'chaper ela alakalos. Wow, so you'd think, the Rambam paskins that you need tshuva. But, and this is based on the Gemara, even if you need tshuva, that's only regarding the chamuros. The kalos, this power of the Seir Mishtaleach, this carbon on Yom Kippur, with the vidui of the Kohen Gadol, extends to kalos even without tshuva. The main kalos, main chamuros, right? You'd think that kalos is a very limited category, but you'd be wrong. Hachamuros are shachayavan alim bisas bezdin, or kares, also shvuas shav v'sheker, alfa bishem bem kares harem b'nachamuros. But shar mitzvahs lo saseh u mitzvahs saseh, that's not a small group. She'ein behem kares, these are the kalos. So number one, what's it doing here right in the beginning of Hilchos Tshuva, instead of in Perek Beis where he speaks about Yamin Arayim? And number two, how do we explain this independent power of the Seir HaMishtalek, which is introduced with Hi Kapara al Kol Yisrael, Kohen Gadol Mizvada Alav, al lashon shall call Yisrael. It's almost like a non sequitur. We're talking about the vidui and the lashon rod, and then all of a sudden we transition into the great scope, the power of the sira mishtaleach. Even for the chamuros where you require tshuva, right? It's it doesn't work without tshuva, but it sounds like the sira mishtaleach is, you know, if you'll excuse the you know, the pun, is really carrying a lot of the avonos here. It can't happen without tshuva, but with tshuva, it's the sira mishtaleach which is mechaper, and that needs to be explained. Then the Rambam goes on, because he's introduced this whole factor of Yom Kippur and sira mishtaleach, and he says in Halacha Gimel, "Bizman hazeh she'ein beis hamikdash kayam, ve'ein lanu mizbeach kapara, ein sham ela tshuva." In our time, where we don't have the beis hamikdash, we don't have access to karbanos, so the role of tshuva is even more amplified because these other mechanisms are no longer accessible to us. Hatshuva mechaperes al kol averos. That's good to know. Without a beis hamikdash, we still have the capacity to achieve kapara through the means of tshuva. Afilu rasha kol yama v'yasa tshuva b'achrona imazkirin lo shum davar mirisho shenemar rishat harasha lo yikashelba biyom tshuva mirisho. But then he adds again, the atzmo shel yom kippurim mechaper lashavim shenemar ki bayom hazeh yechaper aleichem. Even though bizman hazeh there is no shira mishaleach, there's no karbanos, so everything depends on tshuva. But says the Rambam, you should know that the theme of itzumo shel yom being mechaper is still alive and well in terms of the kedushas hayom of Yom Kippur, as long as you are part of the shavim shenemar ki bayom hazeh yechaper aleichem. And then halacha dalit, afa bisha tshuva mechaperes al hakol, the atzmo sheyom kippurim mechaper. Then, you know, how it exactly works out, this is based on the Mishnayos and the Gemaras in the end of the Masechta, yeshavar shein miskaperim l'shaitan, yeshavar shein miskaperim el lachar zman, and he goes into the details. When is Yom Kippur tole, when is Yom Kippur mechaper, when is it a combination, and so on. Okay, chil Hashem doesn't work, all of this. But what comes out, again, of the first four halachos of Hilchos Tshuva, even though they're not yet dealing specifically with Aseres Yemei Tshuva, is a very heavy emphasis on Sira Mishtaleach, on Itzuma Shel Yom, on Vidui Belashon Rabim, and somehow, even when Tshuva is required here, Tshuva isn't always required, even when Tshuva is required, it's more as an accessory to Sira Mishtaleach and to Yom HaKippurim. And the question is why and how? How does this really work? Tshuva, we understand, is a gift. And it's a bit of a miraculous process. The Yerushalmi in Makos, explains that, you know, from a strict din point of view, they asked Chachma, what do you do with somebody who's a chote? And basically Chachma said, you have to throw the book at that such a person. Logic, Chachma, dictates that crime must be punished. Then they asked Nevuah. Nevuah is even harsher. Nevuah said, you have to root that person out. You have to kill that person. Maybe even in a kalos. After all, he defies the Rabbeinu Shalom's law. Then, thankfully, they asked HaKadosh Baruch Hu. HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, there's something called tshuva, which I invented. You know, let him do tshuva, and there'll be kapara. So we understand that tshuva is a chiddush. It's really against the grain of cause and effect. And from that point of view, tshuva is a gift. But even if tshuva is a gift, it should operate according to certain clear principles. And we understand that if a person wants to neutralize his transgressions, both in terms of squaring his relationship with the Rabbeinu Shalom, as well as, purging the impact of those transgressions upon his soul, if you want to say, or his persona, it's muddied his religious persona, etc., that he has to confront and he has to address his personal flaws, and he has to take steps, to move in a certain direction, in a different direction. Even then, we can appreciate, and that's what the Drasha Saran tells us as well, that tshuva is an amazing gift. The fact that tshuva is also a mitzvah saseh, and you get credit for it, is even a more amazing thing. But that you should have to do this hard work that there is substance to tshuva, even if it's a gift, it's a gift with the substance, but the idea that, you know, itzumo shoyom is going to be mechaper, or sira mishtalech is going to be mechaper, even with the tshuva, that that's the emphasis, is something that really needs a better explanation. So why is the Rambam emphasizing all of this? How does it work? Hopefully, if we can explain a little bit what the mechanism is and how does it work, we might also gain insight into why this is projected right in the beginning of Hilchos Tshuva. So, what I'd like to explain is that the answer is to be found in the Rambam's description of Yom Kippur itself, most of which is in Perek Beis of Hilchos Tshuva. Here the Rambam tells us several halachos. Rambam says, "Avabisha tshuva v'hatzaka." This is Perek Beis, Hilchos Tshuva, halacha vav. I'm going to read you vav through ches for the moment. This is the section that the Rambam deals with Aser Simei Tshuva and Yom Kippur. That's why I said before that if you wanted to speak about Sira Mishtaleach and Itzumah Shel Yom and so on, one would have thought that he would have put it here in Perek Beis of Hilchos Tshuva, or if you wanted to save it for Hilchos Avodas Yom Kippurim, that would be fine as well. Why is it, after one universal halacha, so prominent in Perek Aleph? But anyways, the Rambam, when he describes the tshuva, the Yom Narayim, says as follows: Afa bisha tshuva v'tza'aka yafa li'olam. Even though tshuva and tza'aka, repentance and crying out, right, is always appropriate. It's always a good thing to do, meritorious. Basara yamu shebein Rosh Hashanah v'yom kippurim, he yafe biyoser. In the 10 days between Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur, I always like to make this ha'ara that, of course, there aren't 10 days between Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur. There are only 8 days or 7 days between Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur. This is the Rambam's way or the Gemara's way, really, because the Gemara uses this expression, of telling us that whatever differences there are between Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur, and we speak about them every year, there are differences that, at the end of the day, enhance a process which begins on Rosh Hashanah and is a 10-day process that culminates in Yom Kippur. The differences are all to accentuate, different things so that the process is exhaustive, nuanced and effective. So, in any case, the Asara Yamim Shebein Rosh Hashanah, from the beginning of Rosh Hashanah to the end of Yom Kippur, all one period despite having different phases and different points of emphasis, he yafa biyoser miskabeles miyad. Shenemar, quoting the Pasuk in Yeshaya, which we say every fast day, Tirshu Hashem bihimatzo. Then the Gemara, then the Rambam says, B'med Rama Murim biyachid, aval betzibur, Kozman she'osim tshuva v'tzoakim b'leiv shalem. Anytime a tzibur gets together and they sincerely daven and they sincerely do tshuva, heim ne'anim shenemar kashem alokeinu v'chol kira'enu elav. This is based on Gemara in Rosh Hashanah and daf yud ches amud aleph. Actually, the Gemara there is a little bit in the other direction. The Gemara there says, well, this idea of tshuva, which is nen and miyad, the Gemara says, isn't that just tvilas hatzibur? Isn't that just the tshuva of the tzibur? So the Gemara in Yudzayin Ud Beis and Yud Chesam and Aleph in Rosh Hashanah. So the Gemara says, well, we're talking here about Dirshu Hashem Behimatso Karov Yaso Karov, the Aseres Yimei Tshuva, which has a special status. The Rambam, in a way, has a different emphasis. But when you look at this halacha in the Rambam, and you analyze it, or this din in the Gemara, right? There's an interesting question to be asked. If the impact or the effect of Tshuvas HaRabim is singular, so how do you reproduce that in Dershu Hashem B'Himatzo in Aseres Yimei Tshuva? And there can be two explanations. One is that there's Tshuvas HaTzibur. And understandably, that has a greater impact. And then there's, Tshuva Sayachin in Aseres Yimei Tshuva, where the time and the stakes, the urgency, all of that compensate for the lack of a Tzibur stature. So there are two dinim of nen and miyad. One is based on the urgency of time and the urgency of stakes, and the other is based on the presence of a tzibur. However, I think that there are indications that what the Rambam really has in mind here is that these really are one halacha, and that part of the unique stature of tshuva, of aser simei tshuva, is that even though it is played out by yichidim, everybody needs to be mefashvesh, b'masav, etc., part of what's singular about it is that since everybody is obligated to do tshuva at the same time, and for the same reason, let me take a step back. Normally tshuva of an individual is spurred by his own actions. Right? Every time a person is chote, that's what the Rambam says in Perek Aleph, Halacha Aleph, then he's immediately obligated, you know, to address this and to do tshuva by means of vidui. And that's true all year round, and that's true for a person's entire lifetime. And as far as that is concerned, no two individuals are the same, because everybody has their own transgressions, their own issues, their own timeline, etc. So Reuven and Shimon, or Sarah and Leah, it doesn't make a difference. Everybody's doing their own tshuva, everybody has their own story. But the tshuva of Aseres Yimei Tshuva is triggered by the calendar, and it's triggered by the historical event, you know, of the kapara of Klal Yisrael, you know, the Shviras Haluchos and the Egel Hazav, all of Klal Yisrael as a unit, which were threatened, and which did tshuva as a group, with Moshe Rabbeinu being the Shliach Tzibur. That's where the Yud Gimel Midos Shel Rachamim come from. The Yud Gimel Midos Shel Rachamim are only supposed to be said in the context of a Tzibur. So both the anniversary and the paradigm of that is the foundation for the tshuva of Yom Kippur, which of course is led up to by Aseres Yimei Tshuva. It's the time, the opportunity of Avodas Hashem provided by Rosh Hashanah and by Yom Kippurim, really, which applies equally and devolves in the same way upon each individual member of Klal Yisrael and on Klal Yisrael as a community, that makes this the time of tshuva, Aseres Yimei Tshuva. So of course, each individual in that context, you know, has to address his own inadequacies. You know, it would be absurd otherwise. But that's in the context of everybody doing that at the same time for in a certain collective framework. So maybe what the Gemara and what the Rambam has in mind is not that there are two different dinim. One is tshuva satzibor nene miyad, and the other is tshuva sayachidim baseres yimei tshuva nene miyad, but that the tshuva of each individual during aseres yimei tshuva has the status and the stature of tshuva sarabim. And indeed, the next halacha in the Rambam really really seems to reinforce this. Rambam says that Yom Kippurim, Huzman tshuva lekol yachid ularabim. This is a unique formulation of the Rambam. It's the zman tshuva of yachid ularabim. I don't think Rambam means separately for yechidim and for rabim, but it's a tshuva sarabim, which of course requires each yachid to address his own situation in that context. And then the Rambam goes on to say, v'hu keitz mechila uslicha liYisrael, meaning to all of Klal Yisrael. It's the last opportunity. And then, even more importantly, lefikach, as I like to always say, every lefikach is a drum roll, right? Lefikach means, you know, there's a certain perforce, in other words, there's a certain compelling logic here. Lefikach, something big is about to be said by the Rambam. What's that big thing that's being said? Chayavim hakol lasos tshuva ulisvados biyom kippurim. Now, what the Rambam's saying here is sensational in that, as we've spoken of previous years, the only time in all of Hilchos Tshuva that the Rambam speaks about a chiyuv to do tshuva is in this halacha. In other contexts, whether it's the Koteret, Sefer Mitzvos, Perek Aleph, Halacha Aleph, the Rambam speaks about when you do tshuva, the chiyuv to do vidui. The only time he speaks explicitly about an obligation to do tshuva is here. So whether it's the Kates or it's the Rabbim, or the Kates and the Rabbim maybe are two sides of the same coin, it sounds like what the Rambam is saying is that both the last opportunity, or maybe the collective opportunity, or the collective chiyuv, or status of tshuva, is the reason for a chiyuv tshuva on this particular day. And then he adds, U'mitzvas vidu yom ha-kippurim, she'yatchil me'erev hayom, kodem she'yochal, she'mechanek besuda kodem she'yizvada, how urgent it is to do vidui. And then he describes this, and then he says, v'heichan mizvada, yachid achar tfilaso, u'shliach tzibur be'emsa tfilaso, be'bracha revius. So the Rambam tells you that there are two viduyim going on, and we know this to be the case, right? And in the silent Shemone Esrei that every Yachid says, we say vidui really when Shemone Esrei is over. I mean, we haven't, walked back to our original state, but basically it's after the body of Shemone Esrei has ended. And then, of course, when the Shliach Tzibur repeats the Shemone Esrei, it's very striking that he, leads or presides over the vidui in the middle of Shemone Esrei still, in the context of Shemone Esrei. So what the Rambam's saying here is, it's a zman, it's keis slicho mechila li yachid ula rabim, and that is expressed by two viduis, the vidui of the yachid and the vidui of the rabim. But of course, if we look at the two viduis, right, they're identical. Moreover, the minhag of Klal Yisrael, I'm sure it's here true here in Young Israel, Jamaica States as well, is that while much of Chazaras Hashatz is said by the Chazan, and the Tzibur sometimes help him along a little bit with a little bit of musical accompaniment, but most of the Chazaras Hashatz is belongs to the Shliach Tzibur. But when it comes to the Vidui, right, all of a sudden, everybody is involved. Everybody's singing this vidui, very melodiously, I might add. So why is that? What's striking about it is, it's the vidui which is distinguished from the vidui shel yachid, because it's bracha revius, it's in the middle of the Shemone Esrei, basically. So in the middle of, not your Shemone Esrei, but the Shliach Tzibur's Shemone Esrei, and everybody's singing, ki anu amecha, everybody's clapping al-chait together. Moreover, the al-chait that everybody's clapping, if that's the right verb, is b'loshon rabim, right? It's b'loshon rabim when we say it as yechidim as well. And when we're singing it, of course, it's b'loshon rabim. As I like to, I hope I'm not just being overly optimistic, but I think it's fair to say that none of us has ever met an individual who is guilty of every single al-chet that we clap for as yechidim at the end of Shemone Esrei. At least I know I haven't. Not even close. I'm not talking about my behavior. I'm talking about the people that I've met when speaking about my own behavior. So why is every member of Klal Yisrael, speaking b'loshon rabim about this wide range of chataim? Right? It's a very remarkable thing. And then when we run out of chataim, for good measure, we turn to much more kind of amorphous categories, here hooray lev, things like that. But even more than that, al chataim shanur, of chatas, al chataim of asham, al chataim of ola, right? Meaning it's not, we couldn't, we didn't cover it enough with every single possible wrongdoing, that we specified, so now we work with the categories. Why are we doing that? So I think it's at least a good question. There are some achronim who ask this question, and some of them say, shalom levayesh, they give technical answers. Shalom levayesh, you don't know whose avera belongs to who. So everybody should, either, to be machmir for the averos that you're not aware of that you do, or shalom levayesh, the people who are avaryanim in these areas, whatever it is, to identify with the other people. Some people say, no, it's really a v'chule. Really, you really should, tailor your al-chaits to your own averos. Okay, we'll have to see how short everybody's al-chaits are, but at least that would be an interesting exercise. But Pashtus, you know, these are very old nuschos. They go way back. And it sounds like the Lashon Rabbim and the participation and the expansiveness of it is all intentional. And the question is why? Let's take it a step further. The Rambam in Halacha Ches says, "Avidui shenogu bo kol Yisrael, aval anachnu chatanu," right? "Vehu ikar havidui." So this is very remarkable, and I believe I've spoken about this here in the past. I know I've spoken about it elsewhere in the past. There's a lot of literature on this issue. In Perek Aleph, Hilchos Tshuva Halacha Aleph, the Rambam has a very, very detailed and specific vidui. And as I say, it's almost like a torturous process, because there's charata, and there's busha, and there's kabbalah lahaba. And, you know, if you say these things seriously, which we're supposed to, it's not an easy thing. And then all of a sudden, he tells us in the Chuvah Perek Beis that there is a chiyuv, tshuva, first time he mentions it, on Yom Kippur, lefikach anachru chayavim, right, lasos tshuva. So we would expect that, you know, if even when there's no chiyuv or the chiyuv isn't mentioned, vidui is played up and vidui is very specific, so how much more so on Yom Kippur, when, you know, Kate Slicho Mechila Liachad Ularabim, Lefikach Kulam Chayavim, Lasos Tshuva, you'd expect that the Vidui would be even more. Especially when you consider that the Kohen Gadol's Vidui, on Yom Kippur, on the Sira Mishnaleach, on his power, and then on the Sira Mishnaleach, are the paradigms of the Vidui of Kol Shana. Instead, the Rambam tells us that the Habidui Shenogu B'Kol Yisrael, meaning on Yom Kippur, Aval Anachnu Chatanu, or Anachnu Chatanu Kulanu. Ah, another girsa. Behu Ikar Havidui. So some of the Nos HaKelim say, no, you know, it means V'chule. They give different explanations. I always thought that it's not V'chule, and it's not a coincidence. It is unanticipated, but the emphasis on Yom Kippur is on the chiyuv to do tshuva, whereas Kol HaShana, doing tshuva is necessary because you're responding to specific averos, and therefore the focus is actually how you do tshuva on the vidui. But I think it's even more than that, and especially if you have the girsa, aval anachnu chatanu kulanu, behu ikar avidui, because the next line of the Rambam is, averos shezvad aleim b'yom ha-kippurim zeh, Chozer misvad aleim b'yom ha-kippur macher, apapishu omed b'tshuvaso, shenemar ki p'sha'ay ani eda, v'chatasi negdi tamid. So this is the view of, what is it, Rabbi Acha bar Yaakov, I believe. I think it's Rabbi Acha bar Yaakov. In the Gemara, this is the debate in the Gemara, whether or not you continue to do vidui every Yom Kippur on chataim that you neutralized in years past, or not. So the Nos HaKelim point out that if you look at the, you know, normal Klalei Psak and the Gemara here, you would have thought, or you would have guessed, that the Rambam would not paskin like this view. In other words, it's a little bit against the grain and striking that the Rambam paskins that even though you did tshuva on Chet A, B, and C, that every single Yom Kippur, you're going to bring it up again. Again, let me make it clear. Other people are not supposed to remind the Chote of his previous sins. That's a terrible, terrible thing. But that's what we're talking about now. We're talking about whether the Chote himself should do vidui every Yom Kippur for sins that he's long since neutralized. And that's how the Rambam paskens. Very strange. Why? So I think that the answer to all of this goes back to what we said a couple of minutes ago, and that is that the Rambam understands that what's unique about the tshuva of Aseres Yemei Tshuva is the fact that it is the paradigm of the tshuva of the Egel of Klal Yisrael, survival of Klal Yisrael through tshuva, and that it is the opportunity provided by the Yom Noroim, this period of year which triggers a cheshbon nefesh individually and collectively, but individually for every single individual member of Klal Yisrael for the same reason, namely because he is committed to the values of Avodas Hashem. And consequently, even the individual tshuva of Aseres Yemei Tshuva is subsumed under or has many of the characteristics of Tshuva Sarapin. That's why it shares Yeshua Hashem Behimatzo, that it's Nana Miyad, the Gemara in Rosh Hashanah. And for that very same reason, we sing the Vidui, we say it Balashon Rabim, we address the totality of any kind of chet we can imagine any member of Klal Yisrael might have been involved in. And possibly, it's another reason, I don't think it's the only reason, we say Aval Anachnu Kulanu, or Chatanu, or Chatanu Kulanu, or simply Aval Anachnu Chatanu. When the Ram says that's Ikar Vidui, it's because, in a way, being too specific about specific chataim also can divert you from that focus. Maybe the focus of being together with Achenu B'nai Yisrael on Yom Kippur in the same situation, also as individuals, but also as members of the Tzibur. Also as individuals in the Vidui that we say silently, but still B'lashon Rabim, and still comprehensively, and still all of us saying the same words at the same time after Shmon Esrei, and then again repeated in the Tefillah of the Shliach Tzibur, which of course is Tefillah Sarabim, basically. There's an interesting issue generally, you know, there are some Makoros that imply that the only reason that Shliach Tzibur, certainly this is originally the case, repeats the Amidah, the Shmon Esrei, is for those, you know, to be yotze, to be motzi, enam bikiyah. The Rav Zatzal was very convinced that while that may have been the original motivation, that there is such a thing called not just tfilas shliach tzibur, but tfilas hatzibur. That's why the Rav is always makbid to stand during the Amida of the shliach tzibur as well, because there's the tfilas hayachid and there's the tfilas hatzibur. The tfilas hayachid is also a tfilah taking place you know, at the same time, and that has a certain collective status. But even more so, the tefillah of the Shliach Tzibur belongs to the Tzibur as well. So in that, there's an interesting Aruch HaShulchan. Aruch HaShulchan discusses, you know, the status of the Shliach Tzibur and Bizmanenu, and he talks about the fact that, you know, the some of the kpedos to have, you know, Yireim and Shleimim, you know, people of a certain age and married, and he says, what if you can't get that? So he says, well, Bizmanenu, mostly to be a Shliach Tzibur, there aren't so many Einam Bekiyim. It's not, you know, it's not what it was. And then he adds, however, when it comes to the Tefillah of Yom Kippur, of the Yom Neroim in general, and specifically Yom Kippurim, he says, there the role of Shliach Tzibur, though, may still have this more collective motif. A, because there are some people who are Einam Bekiyim, but at least in the context of Yom Kippur, he suggests, also because of the paradigm of the Kohen Gadol, you know, in Avodas Yom Kippurim, who really was acting on behalf of Klal Yisrael. Either way, this idea that we all say the same thing quietly and silently, B'lashon Rabim, and then we all sing it together during the Shliach Tzibur Shmon Esrei, and that, you know, chatoim of years past, our chatoim that we revisit, works in very well with this broader idea. The Gemara in Brachos, on Afid Beis Amid Beis, discusses, you know, saying of HaMelech HaKadosh and HaMelech HaMishpat during Aseres Yemei Tshuva. But as we know, our practice is also to, we also add Zochreinu L'chaim, and Micha Mocha, Ksov L'chaim, B'sefer Chaim, Bracha V'Shalom. And these, are, of course, are not so much in the Gemara. So the question is, on what basis do we do them? The problem is that the Gemara in Brachos, on Daf Lamed Dalid, Amud Aleph, actually tells us that the structure of Tefillah is such that it's prohibited to be shoel, right, to request things in al yishal adam tzrachav lo begimel rishonos velo begimel achronos. So the question is, if you're not supposed to be mevakesh, bakasha is in the middle part of Shmon Esrei. You're not supposed to, the first part of Shmon Esrei is supposed to be a shevach, the last part of Shmon Esrei is supposed to be hodah. How can you say zochreinu l'chaim? Micha mocha isn't so much of a problem. But Zochreinu L'chaim, Melech HaFetz B'chaim, is really a request. and Uksov L'Chaim is a request, and B'Sefer Chaim Bracha V'Shal Mizacher V'Nikasev L'Fanecha is a request. How can you do that? So there were debates already in the time of the Gaonim, and then later the Rishonim, maybe you really shouldn't do this, in Aseret Yemei Tshuva. You should stick only with HaMelech HaKadosh. That's a way of relating to the Rabbono Shel Olam during this Tkufa. But that's not necessarily, it isn't a Bakasha. HaMelech HaMishpat, similarly. But, the prevalent view in Klal Yisrael is that we do say these things, and most of the Rishonim agreed as well. But how does that square with the rule of Al Yishol Adam Tzrach of Lo Begimu Rishonis Lo Gimel Akronos? So Tosus in Brachos on Lamed Aleph and Aleph says as follows. Pirish Rabbeinu Chananel V'Rabbeinu Hai Dafka L'Yachid Avot Tzorkei Tzibur Sho'alim. Okay, that's interesting, right? Tzorkei Tzibur apparently is... again, because of the urgency of Tzorchei Tzibur, or maybe because Tzorchei Tzibur is consistent with Shevach and Hodah. It isn't just about your personal needs. You know, it's about Klal Yisrael and has a different meaning. That's not for now. Okay, either way. Then Tosfos adds, and some Rishonim have it and some of them don't, V'lachein anu omrim zachreinu ukrovetz v'yala v'yavo, and so on. So that's why we add Zachreinu? Tosfos is quoting Rabbeinu Chananel and Rav Haigon as saying, Daf Galiachid, of Tzorchei Tzibur, Sho'alim. Zachreinu is Tzorchei Yachid or Tzorchei Tzibur? Is he trying to explain that the in Chazaras HaShatz, that the Chazim should be able to say Zachreinu L'Chaim? Right? I'm not aware that there is such a view that would be limited to the Shatz. Of course, he's talking about what we say, Zochrein Elachayim, Melech Chafetz Bachayim. The Beis Yosef has a line in the tour, you know, where they talk about there used to be a minug to say the whole Chen Tein Pachtecha and all of that during Aseres Yemei Tshuva. And there was a discussion, what about Shabbos? Also has a line about the needs of the, you know, of the rabbin, Tzorchei Tzibur. So clearly, if we take the view that the tshuva of Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur, although it expresses itself, you know, in each individual, looking himself, introspecting, assessing where he is, and so on, being mefashvesh, you know, his individual masim, even having some measure of choice about how he goes about emphasizing and pursuing his tshuva, certainly at the point of Rosh Hashanah, till you reach Yom Kippur. But that the fact that everybody is doing this assessment at the same time, the fact that it is, you know, patterned after, you know, the original a tshuva of Klal Yisrael and the urgency of that, that basically we're dealing with the tshuva sarabim. And that's what this tkufa is about. That's why Yerushu Hashem Behimatzo. That's why you have Lashon Rabim, and that's why you have this kind of a vidui, and so on. So the idea that each individual says Zachreinu L'Chaim, Melech Chafetz B'Chaim, or Ksov L'Chaim, B'Sefer Chaim, that isn't just related to the Yachid. That constitutes part of Tshuvas HaRabim. And if it indeed is part of Tshuvas HaRabim, then perhaps it is justified in this way as well. Okay. The truth is that the Rambam quotes this distinction between Yachid and Rabim in another context. I'm not going to go into the details of that because it's a little tricky. But the Rambam in Perek Gimel Hilchos Tshuva Halacha Dalid speaks about how you offset Zchuyos and Chovos. Very tricky Gemara. Shonim have different interpretations, what it means. B'shash ashoklin avonos shel adam im zchuyosav, ein mechashvin alav avon shechatabo, tchilav lo sheni. You got a couple of, you know, grace, you know, chataim, you know, when we're measuring, you know, one against the other. Again, it's hard to, ein ater de amatan skorin shel mitzvos, or have, it's hard to understand all of this, because all of it, a lot of it has to do with the quality of transgressions as well. But im nimtzu avonosam mishlishi ve'elach merubin al zchuyosav osam shtei avonos mitzdarfin v'don losa lakol. The Rambam has a whole, based on his reading of the Gemara, a whole system. But what's fascinating is that he says b'med var mamurim biyachin Shenemar, Hin Kalela Yifal, and so on. Aval Atzibur told them Avon Rishon Sheni Ushlishi, they get an extra one. Shenemar al Shlosha Pishe Yisrael, al Arba'a Lo Ashivenu. Kishim Bechashim Lahem, al Derzem Bechashim Lahem Revi Ve'elach. So the Ravid, commenting on this, says, it's not true. There's no such distinction between, I'll just read the last one, Ein Hefresh Begamar Ben Yachid Letzibur V'Le'adati Me'ayin Mitzao. But he does acknowledge that it's possible that Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur are treated differently than the regular Cheshvan and Nefesh that we have. So it's a little complicated, but I always suspect that, you know, what's really happening here is that basically what the Rabbi is saying to the Rambam is, I don't know where you got this distinction between Yachid and Rabbim, although there is a distinction perhaps between, you know, Yamim Noroim or Aser Simei Tshuva and everything else. And the Rambam, if he were here, you know, might just say to us that, yeah, but the whole point of the singular, one of the major points of the singular character of the Yom Noroim is that it's about the Tshuva of the Tzibur, or the framework of the Yachid within the Tzibur. And that's exactly, these are two sides of the same coin. Just as Dirshu Hashem Behimatzo Karub Yaso Karov, right, has, you know, a Yachid Baser Simei Tshuva and Tzibur B'Kol Hashana, so too the Rambam thinks that that's what's going on in the calculation of Zchuyos and Avonos. If this is the case, so then we can go back and understand a little bit what we began with. But before that, I just want to accentuate just a little bit further this idea of Tshuvas Hatzibur. As I said before, the themes of Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur are on the one hand singular, and at the same time maybe more relevant than any other holiday in terms of establishing a hierarchy of values in the system. So if it's true, my analysis, that part of what's unique about the tshuva of Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur, and Aseret Simei Tshuva, is that, you know, the yachid in a way is defined in terms of the tzibur, or the tzibur at least is part of the process of this tshuva. So it wouldn't surprise us that the idea of collective life of every member, every individual member of Klal Yisrael, that wasn't part and parcel of Avodas Hashem in the bigger picture too, and especially in the context of tshuva. And this is certainly the case, and especially so for the Rambam. I just want to develop this for a couple of minutes, and then I'll get back to the questions that we began with, which clearly we've developed an approach to. The Rambam in Perek Gimel Hilchos Tshuva, Halacha Yud Aleph, talks about people who, Perek Gimel in general, at this point, speaks about this part of Perek Gimel, people who don't have merit, you know, for the world to come. And the Rambam has a whole list. Elohein she'en lahem, right after the halacha that I just mentioned about calculating avonos and mitzvos, the Rambam says, Elu she'en lahem chelek le'olam haba, Elu nichrasim ve'ovdin v'nidonin al goldel risham v'chatasam le'olam alol me'olamim. Right? These are the people who, you know, are punished in perpetuity. Kind of a terrifying idea. Haminim ha'bikarsim Kofrim Batorah, Kofrim B'Tchias HaMesim, B'Yas HaGoel, HaMordim, Machti HaRabim. And then one of them is, the one that stands out, because all these are very dastardly, terrible crimes, as you can imagine. Some theological, some social. And then, Uporshin, HaPorshin rather, Midarkei HaTzibur, Va'os Averus B'Yad Ramah, B'Farhesia, Koyakim, HaMosrim, B'Tile Emer LaTzibur, Shel L'Shem Shamayim, Shofchei Damim, Bali Lashon Hara, Moshe Charlasso, every one of these, you know, is something which we can totally understand is a very significant, you know, very weighty transgression, which might justify Elam Chelek Elam Abba. The one that, you know, seems to be anomalous, doesn't seem to belong in the list, is the one which is Parshim Midarkei HaTzibur. Now again, somebody's Porsche Midarkei HaTzibur, we certainly don't want to celebrate them. We understand that antisocial behavior is, leads to all sorts of other things, and in its own right is not admirable, not laudable, but that it should be on a list with, kofrim and apikorsim and machtiei arabim, and shofchei damim, that seems a little extreme. The basis for this is the Gemara in Masechet Rosh Hashanah on Yud Zayin Amud Aleph. Gemara in Yud Zayin Amud Aleph tells us, also has that's where the list comes from, part of the list comes from. And the Gemara says here, 1 second, see if I can find it. It's always good to be able to try to find these things. So the Rambam, the Gemara here has a whole list. Avala minim hamosros hapikarsim shekafru b'torah shekafru b'tchias hamesim shepirshu midarkei hatzibur v'shenasnu chitisam be'eretz chayim v'shechotu v'chtiu asarabim kagon yirovam ben nevat v'chaverov yordim l'gehenim v'nidonim bo l'dorei doros. Okay. So on this list is Pirshu Midarkei HaTzibur. That's where the Rambam gets it from. However, if you look at Rashi, Rashi here says Shepirshu Midarkei HaTzibur. He says Shekafru BaTorah Ha'om Ein Torah Min HaShemayim. And then he says Shepirshu. It's not a real Dibra Maskil. He says Shepirshu Midarkei HaTzibur Lo Gar Sinan Dehainu Kolhani Dileel V'Hachmas Nisan Beseder Olam Hachi Garsinam Le Shepirshu Midarkei HaTzibur Kegon Haminim Hamesoros etc. Midarkei HaTzibur Midarkei Yisrael. Basically, Rashi interprets that this Gemara is a reference to the Minim and the Apikarsim. What does it mean to be Porish Midarkei HaTzibur? It means you're not acting like a minimally proper Jew should. You're in violation of core principles that basically exclude you from the tzibur. In other words, Porsche Medaikar tzibur isn't the Aveira, it's the it's the result, basically. You've done Averos, which puts you outside of Klal Yisrael. That's how Rashi reads the Gemara. Okay, maybe the Rambam reads it that way too. Well, it doesn't sound that way, because he has a Minin Apikarsim, a Kofrim, B'tchias HaMesim, etc. Anyways, this is Halacha Vav. Then the Rambam starts to elaborate each and every example that he enumerated. So in Halacha Yud Aleph, he finally gets to Parash Midarkei HaTzibur. So we're able, nicey sefer, as they say, v'nechazi. We can see what the Rambam really holds. And he says as follows, HaParish Midarkei HaTzibur Apa Pishalo Avar Averos. Wow. Elen Nivdal Me'adas Yisrael Ve'ena osa mitzos bichlalon, v'lo nichnas bitzarasan, v'lo mis'ane bitanisan, elo holech bedarko ke'echad migoye ha'aretz, u'ki'ilu eno mehen, eno chelek le'olam abba. The Rambam not only doesn't think that Porish Midarkei HaTzibur is minin and apikarsim, people who do things that, basically are totally incompatible with being a member of Klal Yisrael, rather, he specifically tells you that this fellow is machmir in every chumrah in the Shulchan Aruch, basically. Every, ritual he does, to perfection, scrupulously, right? He, his kavana and his tefillah and everything else is, kedas u'kedin. The only problem with him is that he's not mishtatef b'tzarasan shel Yisrael, and he doesn't identify, he's poresh midarkei HaTzibur. That's a very remarkable contrast to Rashi, of course, is very, very, very sharp, very strong. There's a bit of a problem with this Rambam, and that is another Rambam. Rambam in Hilchos Amel, Perek Aleph, Halacha Yud, speaks about who is disqualified from Kvura. Obviously, Kvura is a very basic chesed. You have to be, you know, pretty incorrigible, you know, to be excluded from Kvura. But the Rambam says, it's a list, also based on the Gemara, Kol ha-parshin midarkei atzibur, v'heim ha-anashim sheparku ol ha-mitzvos, me'al tzavaron, v'einu nechlalim b'chlal Yisrael ba'asiyas ha-mitzvos, u'kvod ha-moados, v'yeshivas batei knesios, u'batei midrashos, el ha-rehein kach b'nei chorin la'atzmon k'shara umos, v'chein ha-minim ha-mishumadim ha-mosrim kol elo ein mis'ablim aleihem. Them sabel on them, elachem v'shar kroveim lovshim levanim isatvim levanim ochlim v'shosim usmechim she'avdu sonav shalakadosh baruch hu. Okay, so here on the surface, at least, we'll see whether it's so in a minute. Parish midarkei tzibur is anashim sheparku ol mitzvos mi'al tzavaron ve'ina nechalim bichlal Yisrael ba'atzias ha-mitzvos. But in Hilchos Tshuva, the Rambam says they do everything; they're very machmir. Right, but they don't identify with Saras and Shel Yisrael. The Keset Mishnah here even tries to interpret like Rashi does in Rosh Hashanah. Keset Mishnah has a comment. Umasha Kosav. One second. No. Kol Parsha Medarke Atzibur Emes Avlam Aleihem. Umasha Kosav V'Chein Aminim Amishamadiv Amosrim Kol Eile B'Kol Parsha Medarke Atzibur. I'm not sure. That's clearly, he read Rashi in Rosh Hashanah, and he's interpolating that into the Rambam in Hilchos Avelos. But there seems to be a bit of a stira, at least, in the Rambam. Either way, how do we justify that Parsha B'Darkei Tzibur on that terrible list when, you know, this person is antisocial? He obviously doesn't identify with Klal Yisrael. We have two problems. Number one, to explain Hilchos Tshuva, and B, if we also can, to explain the discrepancy in Hilchos Avelos. Oh. But I think that the answer is clear. And that is that for the Rambam understands that Parish Midarkei Atzibur isn't just antisocial behavior, and it isn't just a prat in Yahadus, but not being mishtatef beklal Yisrael, b'tzarasan, u'besimchasan, is really to deny a basic component, a defining component of Kedushas Yisrael. The truth is that we know that one of the singular aspects of Yahadus is the fact that every member of Klal Yisrael is an individual, but an individual who's defined by identifying with the collective of the Tzibur. In the context of Geirus, which is entry and initiation into Klal Yisrael from the outside, you know, we have the beautiful formulation captured in Rus, right? Anechami, Elokoyich, Elokoy. These aren't two dinim; they're really one. We say Kol Yisrael Arevim Zelazeh, right? We don't mean it as an additional element. The whole V'hoyem Shemoa, as opposed to Shema, as Chazal tell us, is written B'lashon Rabim, precisely because even individual obligations, right, are things that cement every member of Klal Yisrael one to the other. That's why there can be Yatza Motzi, Kol Yisrael Arevim Zelazet. Sometimes we say Chatei Kadesha Tiska Chavercha. In our shiur a couple of years ago, we learned Shabbos. We're talking about the beginning of Shabbos. Discussed that idea. It isn't just altruism. It's that every action takes place on two planes. And as much as the individual, Chayecha Kodmin L'Chayecha Bercha, has rights and obligations, still, an indispensable core part of his self-definition is that he is a member of the Tzibur as well. Unquestionably, what the Rambam is trying to tell us is that when a person is Porish Min HaTzibur, it's not a small matter. It basically undercuts Parshas V'Hoyem Shemoa is Kabbalas Ol Mitzvos. When the Rambam says, hey, even if he does every chumrah in the Shulchan Aruch, he doesn't say it exactly that way, but that's basically what he's saying. Nonetheless, you know, he is somebody who ain lo chelak le'olam haba. What the Rambam is really saying is Similar to what the Gemara says in Chulin, and what the Rambam codifies as well, maybe not as drastic, but close to it, you know, we say that, you know, a person who is Ovid of Arizara, but does every single other one of the Taryav, let's say, mitzvos, it's meaningless. You know, and a person who is not Ovid of Arizara, you know, and he's in violation of almost everything, he's a Yisrael Chote. There are certain elements that define the core of identity, and in light of which, all actions, all other actions, or other abstaining from actions get redefined. If a person's an Ovid of Arizara, can say, you know, there's one big thing that he doesn't do, and maybe it's even big enough, you know, to read him out of Klal Yisrael. That's not a correct formulation. If a person's an Ovid of Arizara, then by definition, all the mitzvos that we think or he thinks that he's doing are basically meaningless. And what the Rambam is saying is that a poresh midarkei tzibur, a person who doesn't believe in amei chami, right, or who doesn't identify as a member of Klal Yisrael, you know, he basically can do everything ritually correct, but it's meaningless. It's basically inconsequential. And if that's the case, then perhaps, my suggestion, I think there are other explanations of this. There are those who suggest, I should mention, that maybe the Rambam's mechalek between Eilam Chelek Le'olam Abba and Avelus, especially since the Rambam himself in Pirshim Mishnayis in Chelek explains that whoever doesn't believe in the Yud Gimel Ikarim of the which the Rambam identifies as necessary beliefs, Ein Lo Chelek Le'olam Abba, because he's not a member of Klal Yisrael. So Ein Lo Chelek Le'olam Abba is, Olam Abba is a gift to members of Klal Yisrael, even though Umos Olam can get it too, but that's a different story. This gift is contingent upon a Klal Yisrael credential, and that's what the Rambam is describing here in Tuflis Tshuva. So Poresh, Darche, Atzibor, somebody who doesn't identify with Klal Yisrael is not going to attain that status. But maybe in Hilchos Avelos, this is what some Achronim suggest, when we're talking about being this Abel Olav and Kvura and so on, that's not about Klal Yisrael, per se. Therefore, here, the Rambam says that Parish Midarkei Atzibor, which is also on the list in Avil Rabasi, has a meaning he doesn't observe mitzvos properly or with the Tzibor, etc. But I don't think that's a pshat. I think, if we look carefully in Hilchos Avelos, we should be reading Hilchos Avelos in light of Hilchos Tshuva. What the Rambam says here, it could be others read it this way too. Kol HaParish Midarkei Atzibor, Veheim HaAnashim, Sheporku ola mitzvos me'al tzavaran. Instead of saying that means they don't do the mitzvos, it has to be read in light of Hilchos Tshuva, where the Rambam says that elam chelek olam abba, because it looks like they're doing mitzvos, but they're missing this core definition, and therefore it's totally meaningless. There's no framework for it. The eina nechlolin bechlal Yisrael basiyas mitzvos doesn't mean, you know, they don't come to shul for tefillah. It does mean that, but it means more than that. Because they don't identify with Klal Yisrael, therefore whatever they do is meaningless, and it's the equivalent of Sheparku Ola Mitzvos Mi'al Tzavaran Ukvoda Moados. Then he brings numerous examples of things that Yeshivas Bate Knesios, Bate Midrashos, Hare Hein Kach Bnei Chorim La'atzman Kishar Ha'umos, that they have religious ritual practices that simulate and that confuse others as being similar to what a good Jew does, betocha tzibor, or even a bad Jew does, you know, who identifies with the tzibor. That's beside the point. But al pidin, that's called prikas ol hamitzvos. This idea is really at the root of the very concept of bris. We read in Parshas Netzavim a couple weeks ago that atem nitzavim hayom kuchem lefnei Hashem elokeichem. Right, Rashechem, Shiftechem, everybody, and then we're told Eis Asher Yeshno Po, the Eis Asher Einenu, right, Omed Imcha Hayom. So this is the remarkable thing, that you can have a bris with people who have not yet been born. That's a remarkable thing, and the Mefarshim are bothered by it. Some of them say the neshamos of the future generations were, you know, there to be makabel, you know, the Allah and the bris. And that's a fine shot. The question is, what does it mean? And maybe it's understood that way, narrowly and mystically. But I always thought that a better rational explanation, which overlaps with and certainly doesn't contradict the one that I just mentioned, is that Es Asher Yeshno Po Ve'Es Asher Eineno is basically built on the idea of Amecha Mi Elokayach Elokai, of the concept of being Poresh Min HaTzibur. And it works in both directions. A person can be alive and well, and he can be scrupulous about every mitzvah, you know, in the book. And in the end of the day, if he doesn't identify with Klal Yisrael, B'tzarasan, U'B'simchasan, and, you know, he sees this as, you know, a personal, you know, religious commitment, but not one which is connected to the history and to the fate of Klal Yisrael, so what he's doing is meaningless. At the same time, for the same reason, when Klal Yisrael were Makabel, the bris with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, so were the people there, but it wasn't the people there alone. Historically, they represented generations past, Targum Yonos and Ben-Aziel, for no reason, you know, that one can think of, except maybe this explanation. He says, not only, you know, the future generations, Es Asher Eineinu, but the past generations, Es Asher Eineinu, were there. What's he trying to explain? Right. The commitment for people in the future, why my great-great-great-great-great-grandchild is held to this very high standard. We understand that issue and that problem. What does it have to do with the past? But I think what he's addressing is the same issue. Yeah. Targum Yonos ben Aziel in the Tzavim. Find it, I'll read it to you, since I bothered you for the... What's that?
I didn't hear it.
Oh, okay. And you usually know the Targum Yonos ben Aziel. And that's like... What?
I skipped that one.
I'm saying, I'm a little surprised. But... now it'll be in your repertoire. La'avrucha b'bris Hashem elokecha ba'ala so, right? Asher Hashem elokecha karei simcha hayom. So who is it? It's atem mitzavim hayom kuchem. Lefnei Hashem elokecha marashechem shavtechem zepnechem shatrechem kol ish Yisrael. Tapchem shechem gerach Hashem b'kerv machanecha mecho teva tzacha ad shoei v'meimecha. La'avrucha b'bris Hashem elokecha ba'ala so. And then we're told, "Lamana kimos cha yom lo la'am hu yalchal elokim." Pretty big stakes. Kasher nishbal avosecha. This is the past. Avram Yitzchak v'Yaakov. Below itchem lebadchem anochi kareis sabris hazos. The es ha'ala hazos. Ki es asher yeshno po imanu omed hayom lefnei Hashem elokeinu ve'es asher einenu po imanu hayom. Yeah. So the Targum Yonos ben Aziel says, "Arum yas kol doraya de kamun." Min yomei alma, in the past, kulon hinun de kaimen haka imana, yomana kadama shemalakana, viyas kol doraya da sidin lemekum ad sof kal alma, kulon hinun kaimen haka iman yomana. Meaning not just the future, but the past. How does that work? The way that it works is that Klal Yisrael is made up of individuals in any different, any given generation. But the totality of the individuals of Klal Yisrael in any generation also represent the collective Klal Yisrael, the Dorei Doros, of the past, of the present, and of the future. And in that sense, Es Asher Eineinu are bound, and they are represented. And if that's the case, and that's the basis of the bris, then a Poresh Midarkei HaTzibur is an apikoros, basically. He's an Oved Avodah Zarah, practically. He denies a core part of what identifies and defines a Jew as a Jew.
How are they bound without being masculine?
That's what I'm trying to say. The Tzibur, as a member of the Tzibur, then, as the latest manifestations or instantiations of it now, they're bound. They're part of that Tzibur. That's who they are. I'm not talking about the question of fairness. I'm talking about legal presence and representation. Oh. So if all of this is the truth, then we can understand why in the context of tshuva, the role of tzibur is so important. But then getting back to what we began with, and now we'll bring it to an end, what I've tried to explain is that this idea of tshuva tzibur and this interface of yachid and tzibur is a critical component in Hilchas Tshuva, The Rambam says, by the way, in Perek Dalet Hilchos Tshuva Halacha Beis, he talks about the Arba V'Esrim Dvarim that are Ma'akvim Es HaTshuva. A lot of the same things. In Halacha Beis, U'mehen Chamisha Dvarim Anoalim Darkei HaTshuva, so the loaded phrase of the Rambam, Pnei Osein Ve'Elohein. The first one is HaPoresh, again, Min HaTzibur. So, I think, what did we start with? We started with the question, number one, why does the Rambam in Perek Aleph, Hilchos Tshuva, when he really speaks about Aseres Yemei Tshuva in Perek Beis, why does he give such prominence to Sir HaBishtaleach and Itzumo Shel Yom HaKippurim, right? Perek Aleph, Halach Aleph is typical, Kol Shana, and then Beis, Gimel, Dalid, are all Yom Kippur Dinim, basically. Moreover, he begins, right, by saying, Seira Mishtaleach Lefishu Kapara Al Kol Yisrael, Kohen Gadol Misvada Olav Al Lashon Kol Yisrael, Shenemer Isvada Olav Is Kol Kabonos Bnei Yisrael. Right? He starts off with Vidui Rabim and Tshuva Shol Rabim. And then he transitions to Seira Mishtaleach Mechaper Al Kol Avar Shabbatar Akalos Achamuros, with Tshuva, without Tshuva, etc. Right? Well, what's the solid? Why is he doing this? And then three, how is it possible that Rebbe could think that Yom HaKippurim without Tshuva is Mechaper? And even if we don't hold like Rebbe, how could it be that Itzumo Shel Yom is Mechaper al HaKalos, or even if it's Mechaper with Tshuva, if you already have Miman Efshach, if you have the Tshuva, what do you need? The Yom Kippur? And it sounds like Yom Kippur is carrying a lot of all of this. And what's really happening? But I think that the answer, in light of what we tried to develop, is very clear. And that is that in the world of Avodas Hashem, this idea of Porish Midarka Ad Sibur is a critical one. And in the world of Tshuva, that, you know, critical, acute idea is reflected. And it's particularly manifest in the Tshuva of Aseres Yemei Tshuva. As I say, both for the paradigm of the Egel HaZahav, but even more so, the yearly introspection that every single member of this klal does because of the calendar period and the need for Klal Yisrael, you know, both as individuals and the collective, you know, Keitz Slicha Mechila LeYachid Ulerabim, you know, to be doing. And therefore, as long as a person isn't Mivva'et, he doesn't reject, doesn't rebel against the concept of Yom Kippur, if he does that, then of course Yom Kippur isn't going to help him. Because he's not Mishtape, he doesn't identify with that concept. But to identify with Yom Kippur implicitly is in a way to be connected to Tshuva. Even if it isn't the conventional, you know, Tshuva of, you know, Chatasi Avisi Pashati, although it's that too. It's supposed to be that too. But even if it isn't the conventional Tshuva that you would think of in terms of Yachid, the Kapara of Sira Mishtaleach, which the Kohen Gadol does the Vidui Shel Rabim, the day of Yom Kippur, Itzum al Shayom, and the importance of that day to Klal Yisrael, is one which carries with it the ingredients of the equivalent of Tshuva. Through the Tzibur, the Schus Rabim of the past, the Schus of the Avos, through the collectivity of Klal Yisrael, every member of Klal Yisrael redefines his relationship with the Rabbanu Shalom, which, in the end of the day, is really what Tshuva is about. It's the return and the strengthening and the reinforcing of that relationship. And for that reason, it's the perfect way for the Rambam really to begin Hilchos Tshuva, to speak about the individual's obligation, and then to locate that within the concept of Vidui HaRabim, and the idea that Itzumo Shel Yom is Mechaper. So we'll stop here. I just want to wish everybody a Gmar Chesima Tova. We are going to be learning Masachet Sanhedrin, the first parak, and we'll begin with that on, I guess, the Monday after Yontif, and you know, with hopefully with Mar Bachamas as well.